Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. If you're a state lawmaker, you might be getting thrown out of your local restaurant or bar soon. The group Protect Private Property Rights of Michigan set to ban legislators from about 500 of its affiliated establishments starting September 1st. The protest aimed at the statewide smoking ban. To talk about this interesting approach, I'm joined by the group's executive director, Stephen Mace. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Thank you.
Now, off the bat, it seems like banning lawmakers from an establishment for no other reason than the fact that they're elected officials might not even be legal. Do business owners have the right to refuse service to a patron based on their occupation?
Well, what we've looked into under the Michigan Compiled Laws and the Civil Rights Act, lawmakers and politicians are not actually a protected class of people in the state of Michigan. The ban is in direct response to the current legislature's lack of action or even opening dialogue on the ban issue. These small business owners are feeling very much ignored. The pro-ban lobby and their purchased polls and studies seem to get all the airplay, while a lot of these people struggle to make a living, some even being forced to close their bars.
This sounds like the opposite of lobbying. Do you think that the ban could have the opposite effect and anger lawmakers, causing them to turn their backs on even considering the lifting the smoking ban?
I think a lot of lawmakers have very broad shoulders. They're definitely attacked every day in the media and deal with angry constituents on a regular basis. So I feel it may be par for the course for them, but certainly sends a very loud statement that these private property owners are taking back control of their property and deciding themselves who may and may not come in.
So let me ask you, I know the health issues are what drove the ban. When it comes to the effect that businesses in your organization have seen, what kind of percentage and drop of sales are they reporting based on the smoking ban?
Well, with over 500 business owners being members, you hear a broad range depending on the demographic, location, size of the establishment. So it's anywhere from 10% in lost revenue, right up to 40-50%, and as I stated earlier, right up to being forced to close their doors.
I mean, what about the underlying health concerns of patrons and workers at these establishments that led to the ban? Isn't it better for them not to be exposed to secondhand smoke?
Well, our position isn't from the health point of view. What we do know as a fact is that tobacco, like it or not, is a legally sold and purchased product in the state of Michigan. The government doesn't seem too concerned with the purchase and sale of that product. If that was the chief concern, I'm sure the tobacco would be outlawed across the board.
Now, the ban was actually instituted by a previous group of lawmakers. What was the driving force then, do you think, for them to put the ban in place if it wasn't the health concerns themselves?
Well, I think a lot of them were involved in the and influenced by the pro-ban lobbyists. In Lansing, it does have a very good feel-good kind of, it's a feel-good piece of legislation. You're protecting workers, despite workers never having actually asked to be protected. There was definitely a drive amongst a political action committee who have vested interests in what some believe is the pharmaceutical industry to really push for these bans. And it's much easier to impose the will of lobbyists on small businesses than it is on corporations such as the casinos.
I'm talking to Stephen Mace. He's the executive director of the group Protect Private Property Rights of Michigan. You know, Stephen, this Republican legislature and governor are certainly one thing, and that is pro-business. Why are they not taking up this issue if it is harming bars and restaurants in such a direct way?
Well, I mean, our hats have been off to the pro-ban lobby from the beginning. They're very effective. They use opinion editorials in a very effective strategy and marketing campaign to convince the public that there are no negative economic effects occurring. The small business owners, the reason they came to our organization is they lack the traditional lobbyists and the money and the power to wield influence in Lansing. the pro ban lobby have been very effective in their strategies, basically brushing aside the concerns and the pleas of small business owners by essentially branding them in the media and in the public as, you know, pro tobacco shills, as it were. If a small business owner of a 20-25 seat alcohol only 21 and over only establishment says, "Hey, it's hurting my business," it doesn't matter if that person has never smoked a cigarette in their life or really despises the smell of cigarette smoke. They're just citing a fact and saying it's driving me out of business. But in turn, you'll have the pro-ban lobby go, "Well, obviously they're just dedicated to smoking and they're bad people." It's very effective. It's been a very effective strategy. But unfortunately, we've more or less discovered the man behind the curtain.
The ban has been in place for a little over a year. People have now gotten used to going to bars and restaurants and not being exposed to smoke. It seems very unlikely that it would be lifted and that would just be brought right back. Is there any kind of a compromise you think that could be put in place that would limit the pain that this is causing to businesses, yet allow patrons to avoid cigarette smoke?
Well, we'll definitely have to see when lawmakers get back to work after their extensive vacation what options there are on the board. But as it stands right now, there really isn't much in the way of being offered a compromise or whatnot. But they're definitely going to have to start listening to these small business owners. They're the backbone of our economy, and at that point in time, we'll have to sit down and see what their solutions are. The state is taking a big hit through lottery sales. The Commissioner M. Scott Bowen testified before House Committee before the break that the lottery is down 20% in revenue. That's, you know, in excess of $100 million less for school funding and for social services. There's obviously an effect here. And, bombarding the media with op-eds saying everything's great really doesn't take away from the reality of things. But we'll have to sit down and see what lawmakers have in mind.
Would allowing, for example, smoking to occur just outside in an outdoor area for an establishment, would that be an acceptable first step?
Stepping outside onto a patio and actually being able to take a beer with you or a cocktail, an adult beverage, that may work well in warmer months, but this is Michigan. We do have four seasons. And it's certainly not an option in the wintertime when it's 10 degrees. I believe a lot of veterans organizations have a hard time kicking out veterans outside of their own private clubs. And customers themselves are going to, in your traditional bars, are going to tend to stay home more in the winter if that is their only option. Really, our position is we would like to see a full repeal of the law, and if people who do have a vested interest in the industry want to sit down and talk about what a good strategy might be, we're open to that. But for something like a Band-Aid solution, it's not going to be effective at all.
So this ban then on lawmakers from entering restaurants and bars, is that essentially a publicity stunt, or will the establishments be taking it seriously? It seems like they'd have to be on their toes to keep track of exactly who's in their bar or restaurant.
It's definitely something that bar owners are taking very seriously. It's not each constituency has a state representative and a state senator, and it's not very difficult to get their photographs off the state government websites and let their staff know who they are. Certainly not a publicity stunt by any means. The small business owners are frustrated. They're growing. They're growing disenchanted and almost disenfranchised in some ways, nobody's listening to them. So those who are responsible for the inaction in the new legislature are being held to account, and they're being told they're persona non grata.
Are there any lawmakers at this point that have responded to your general concerns and are saying that they'll at least begin to address the issue this fall?
There was a meeting in Taylor last Monday that was attended by Representative Doug Geis of Taylor and Senator Hopgood of the same constituency to listen to bar owners' concerns, workers' concerns. It was also attended by support industry business owners and workers such as vendors, suppliers, distributors, entertainers, musicians. There were 100 individual bar owners from that area that attended. I would estimate around 250 people in total that came to voice their concerns, and both the representative and senator were very, very keen to hear their concerns. and take that back to Lansing with them when they return.
Stephen Mace, he's the executive director of the group Protect Private Property Rights of Michigan as they work to remove the smoking ban that is now in place here in Michigan. Thank you for joining me, Stephen.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.